Okay. Without further ado, why don't you welcome Pastor Craig?
Morning, church. How are we? Good, good. All right. Will you pray with me, church, as we begin? So, Father, I just thank you for this day. And I thank you for the great nation of Australia. I thank you in this great nation that we're able to come freely into your house and worship and glorify you and learn to know you more. So, Father, as Pastor Kerry's already mentioned, as we prepare to advance, Lord, I ask that you'd give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive what you have for us this day. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, church, are you genuinely ready to advance in the Lord? I actually appreciate that response. That maybe only like 7% of the people gave me a yes. But the truth of it is, like, I'm serious. And hopefully you responded to that seriously, because maybe you know some of the implications of going forward, moving forward, pressing in, advancing with the Lord. That might not come easy. And I wonder if that is why I got that response. Maybe you're just still tired and you had a late night. All right, well, throughout January, our local legend series has provided us with some tools and wisdom from the Bible to hone our walk with God. Okay, and just to give you a quick recap, Wayne Mannoni spoke to us about the body of Christ being healthy, purposed, and unified. And then Solomon Opong, if you were here for that morning, my goodness, how incredibly challenging that message was to us to discern the times. It really challenged us to know what we believe through reading the Word and being led by the Spirit, and then standing upon those convictions. And last week, Kay Newton spoke to us about integrity and how that should be an outworking of God's grace in our lives to therefore walk in the Spirit and in godly integrity. Great words, great messages, and a big thank you to all of our speakers that prayerfully brought those messages to the Hillside family. Now, as you've already heard, this morning a man called Tim Taylor was meant to bring you today's message. He found himself presiding over a little miracle that you've just heard about called Isabella on Wednesday. And I just to echo Pastor Kerry's words, congratulations to Tim and Claudia, Mrs. T, and all of the Taylor clan. And you know what? There's actually something quite ironic about my message this morning. In the midst of a baby being born after 14 years of devotion, prayer, prophecy, and ultimately surrender to God. And hopefully you'll see how that relentless commitment to holding on to what God has said is a lesson to all of us this morning. So I know you've already been challenged as we've started this year from this platform. And I know for some of us, we might be wrestling with how we might implement or outwork some of the things that we've heard spoken here at Hillside already in 2020. But I have to share with you my sense in all three of these previous Sundays since we've kicked off the new year. And it's this deep sense of allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to all of us in stillness. And this forms a very simple part of my message for you this morning. You see, the Bible has multiple references that suggest to stop or be still is a necessary act. There are plenty of verses that also imply it. So let me give you a couple of examples. Probably the most famous mention comes from Psalm 46. We've actually got it written on the walls of our church. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Then you can also find reference in Psalm 37:7. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. In Zechariah 2:13, it says, be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. And in the book of Exodus, Moses tells the people, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You see, I'm bringing these verses to your attention this morning to ask the question, when did we last stop and be still, just like it says in the Bible? Because as we conclude January, maybe you've stopped to take some holiday or some time to chill and relax. Maybe that's caused some refreshment or excitement in you about 2020. Or maybe you've done some other things that have left you feeling enthused about the year ahead. See, they might be options that either feel nice or cause you some enthusiasm, but I wonder how many of us have stepped back from the oncoming moments of life and asked God what he might have for us this year. I didn't know you were going to talk about holidays, man. And look, holidays. This, I'm not bagging out holidays, all right? Holidays have a time and a place. Because a break or a holiday can be great. And you can believe that it is your be still moment. But unless it includes God, it's unlikely to be the be still moment that we hear about in the Bible. So this morning, as we prepare for our Advanced Sunday in two Sundays' time on the 9th of Feb, could you believe with me that God wants to prepare you for the advancement he has for you in 2020? And I want to give you some tactics before you set out to encounter what might be ahead. Could you believe with me that God might want to speak to you in your stillness? And so with the concept of preparation for advancement in mind, will you lean into what being still in a biblical sense might look like this morning? See, I want to drop back into Psalm 46, and I put the whole of it on the screen. I know it's real small, but I wanted it to just be on one slide. We briefly touched on it earlier, and the particular line, be still and know that I am God. And from the off, we have to read this line in its entirety and in its wider context. So it's worth knowing that this is God's cry to those in the midst of a battle or a conflict. We're not told the specific details of this, though some theologians and historians have some ideas, none of which are confirmed. We just know it's some kind of battle or conflict is the context. Okay, verse 10 of the psalm is the only line in the entire psalm that references God speaking in the first person. Otherwise, he's mentioned in the third person throughout, with exaltation and praise being directed at him. He is described as our strength, our refuge, and our fortress. You will have heard some of this psalm when we open church so many times. I will get up and I will read some of Psalm 46 to you. You see, in verse 10, these words are spoken by God as a cry to stop the battle or stop the conflict. And this is an important point of note. God doesn't just say, be still. There is an important second half to this request. Know that I am God. And this is where I want to pay much attention to this morning. This is a two-part instruction from God. Part one, be still. Part two, know that I am God. You see, in the context of the psalm, he is firstly telling all in the battle to stop. The Hebrew word for still is rofa, and it means to slacken, to cease, or to let down. You might say it's to stop, release, and let go. For those in the battle who are with the Lord, he's saying, stop, lay down your weapons and ideas of how this is going to play out. Remember my strength. Remember that my purpose will come to pass. And if I am with you, you won't be defeated. He's also saying to those in opposition to the people of God, it's a warning. You can't win. God won't be denied. So you better put down, you better cease your fighting. And for us, this same concept, a rofa, can be applied to our lives. Whether we find ourselves in conflict, battle, or otherwise, there is still wisdom within this instruction. Put down your own ideas. Put down your own concerns. Stop the things that you're doing and trust me and my way. See, this might be a concept that comes easier to some than it does others. The idea of stopping, putting down, untangling yourself from the to-do list of your life and being still. Now, some of you might say, well, I stopped, Craig. I've done that before. I just sat there and I did nothing. Maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, I do that all the time, Craig. I sit there in front of the telly. Or I'm in my bedroom. Or I put my feet up in the garden. And where's this God that you're talking about? When's he going to show up? He don't engage me. He don't speak to me. I'm not even sure he's there. You see, I want to challenge that mindset from the off today. Because if God doesn't interrupt you when you're busy and active, then why would he interrupt you in stillness? When God says, be still, I want to challenge you that it's simply not a call just to stop alone. It's not a call just to stand still. It's not musical statues here, church. That is far from the end of it. You see, for as far as I'm concerned, that's only the beginning of the process. That's just the thing to call you to attention. It's just the first half of the verse. Church, being still is one of the most important opportunities or decisions that we might make in our journey of faith. But there are two parts to it. Be still and know that I am God, and know. I want to present to you that being still of its own accord does not equate to time being spent getting to know the Lord. You see, if we fail to acknowledge and draw closer to God in our stillness, well, you know what? We just missed the point. It's up there, yeah. This verse is like a gym membership. This verse is like a gym membership. I've been working hard on this message, and this is where I got to. It's like a gym membership. I'm sorry. I'll get you there with me, hopefully. You see, maybe you've been in this boat before. I'm not going to name names. I might have found myself in this boat before, okay? But no judgment from you particularly, okay? Maybe you've seen it happen to others in your life. Don't be looking my way. But let's just say you go and buy a gym membership. You see, you get online. It's the start of 2020 and you go and buy a gym membership. You get on the net and woo, oh my goodness, what a time to be alive. No membership fee. Oh, no lock-in contracts. No hassle. I'm all about that. So I do the thing and I sit in my seat. I join the gym. Yeah. Guaranteed results. That's what it said. Or your money back. Ha! I got this. But I'm sitting there, like weeks later. Probably ain't even weeks, probably like later in the day. I'm like flexing a little bit. I'm like, I can't see no results. It goes a week, it goes a month. I can't see no results. So you know what I go and do? I get down to that gym and I start asking some hard questions. I'm asking them, what's going on? No hassle, you said. And they say to me, Craig, if you want a result, you got to turn up. And I'm like, you said no hassle. 24/7 access. I've been like waking up in the middle of the night just going like, my legs just looking strong. No, they're not. You know what? I even received a little tag in the post. I've been showing people the tag. I'm at the gym, man. I got access whenever I want it. I got the tag. And they say to me, not only have you got to turn up, if you want to see results, you got to lift something. I'm like, what do you mean? You didn't say this. You didn't say this in the sign-up process. I got to lift something. Oh, you got to lift some weight. You know, it might help you, Craig, if you even run on the treadmill. You're probably going to see some results. You know what? You got to sweat a little bit. You said no hassle. Oof. You know, I went online, I signed the forms, I paid the money, and I stopped. I thought that was it. I thought you were going to do the rest for me. I thought there was going to be transformation. See, I was so committed to seeing it work. Once I signed up, I thought I could just stop. And I hope you already see what I'm getting at here, church. Because here's the kicker, just like the gym, if you stop after the sign-up process, you won't be able to advance your fitness levels. It's the same with God. If you only take on board the first half of this instruction, and you find yourself lounging on a beach down south, wondering why you can't see. No, I'm sorry. There was no inference, man. Wow. You know what? I might not be here for part two. Like, all right. Yeah. We're at the beach down south, but it could be any beach. It could be anywhere in the world. And you're wondering why God isn't engaging you when you got your feet up, while you're taking a break, while you're being still. Well, you got to know that that doesn't equate to knowing Jesus more. You see, he didn't change locations. He's always been there. You know, maybe some, like some of these gyms that you see, God's 24/7. You got access all the time at your convenience. If I'm just going to sit there, if I'm just going to be still, whether it be with my gym tag in my hand, during my holidays, or when I'm sitting there in front of the TV, or get this, sitting in my chair at church, being still, I put everything else down. I turned up, I'm in the room. But if my attitude, if my heart is not turned towards God, I can't be wondering why he isn't tapping me on the shoulder. I got to tell you, if you ain't going to seek him, he ain't going to force you. That's called free will. That's called authentic relationship. It has to be two-way. You know, it's no good all of us sitting in a room for 90 minutes and saying that's enough. It's great that we're together, church. It's great that we're together. But you know what? If we're sitting, even if we're in the church right now, and we're disengaged, disinterested, coming in with a "what have you done for me lately, God?" kind of attitude, then I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You might not be engaging in a conversation with the Lord. Because you know what? When we come in with an attitude that says, "Oh, well, I've stopped. I've done my bit. That is the end. I need to tell you that God isn't the one breaking his covenant. He's still deeply, deeply desiring that his people draw closer to him and know that he is God. He doesn't love you any less. This is not about earning it, okay? Just in case you think that's where we're going. No, no, no. This is not about earning it. But if you want to know someone more, you got to spend time with them. And you've got to want to spend time with them. Think about the best relationships that you have in your life. I wonder if they're a result of you turning up at the meeting and just sitting on your phone while the other person tries to say, "Well, I'm here, man. I'm here. I want to engage you, but you're distracted." I don't know about you, but I haven't had a good relationship off of a situation like that. It always goes two ways. We have to stop. We have to be still. But we also have to desire spending intimate time with God and acknowledging him. If you don't want that, then he isn't going to force you. Service team, can I get you to distribute the emblems for communion, please? Church, we're going to have communion shortly. And I want to just get down to some of the nuts and bolts and stillness of what stillness might look like and how we might get to know God more. Well, if you're just starting down this path, if this is a brand new concept to you, like, "Oh, I would quite like to get to know Jesus more." If this is a new concept, and you know what? If it's an old concept to you, I think you're going to have great difficulty if you don't have your Bible close at hand. Okay, I think that's a pretty good start. If you can have your Bible close at hand, not just to carry it, like, I got it, Craig. I got it. I did the thing. No, you missed the point again. Have it close at hand so you can read it, so you can open it. It's the living, breathing Word of God. That's a good start. And look, I encourage you. It's quite a big book, okay? Get into the Gospels. Read about Jesus, God's one and only begotten Son. Read about the character of Jesus. Read about his miracles. Read about his great power. Read about his deep love and compassion. Go to those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Understand his nature and his great discipline of doing the Father's will. Knowing Jesus and desiring his character to shape your own will only draw you closer to knowing him. Okay, another start point in this is to seek wisdom. You see, God is not wanting to withhold wisdom from you. He's generous to those who seek out his wisdom. It says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The Bible also ensures you that gaining wisdom will go beyond all of your desires. In Proverbs 8, it says, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. And lastly, another well-known promise from the book of Jeremiah, confirming that your devotion will not go amiss. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, it's a matter of the heart, church. It's a matter of desire. This is a discipline, church, that requires time. I know we live in a time poor environment and society. But if you seek him with your whole heart, you will advance. It requires us to be deliberate. It requires us to be intentional. There are no shortcuts or ways to cheat. You can't insta this, church. This doesn't come in a moment. This comes through journey and time with him. And church, look, I appreciate, I have approached this in such a linear way. But I encourage you to consider when, where, and how your be still will result in knowing God more. Can I get the worship team to come, please? You see, this is a personal thing for each of us. I cannot prescribe to you what being still looks like for you. The chances are it will look different from me to you. Okay, this is setting up an atmosphere or an environment that enables us to come closer to God. I want to share a couple of mine, but they might be wildly different to yours. You see, through all of the years that I was running the youth ministry here, there was this place I used to go to midweek. It was just after breakfast time, but before lunch. And I used to find that it was dead quiet in this little quiet cafe in Burswood. I used to go there. It was quiet. There were very few people coming through it. And I used to open my Bible up, grab a coffee, and just sit with God and just say, speak to me. Help me understand you more. The sadness with that scenario was that I do love a good quiet cafe. Unfortunately, this one was so quiet that it closed down in the end. So I lost that place, okay? Some of you might be thinking already, like, oh, I got to find a quiet place. It needs to be, like, serene. Well, let me tell you, the other be still for me is when I'm in a room louder than I can imagine, really, filled with worship music. It fills me with a sense of awe. It fills me with a sense of my God is so much bigger than this. And this is big, and it surrounds me, and the music is loud, and it overwhelms me. But I'm able to engage with my Jesus in that place so beautifully. I just give you those examples because it don't have to be quiet. It might help you. But in my case, sometimes it's just louder than you can even believe. Whatever it looks like, church, if you're genuine about advancing with the Lord this year, find that place. Find that place. And don't just find it, spend time in it. Get to know Him more. And so, church, you know, like, there is not a cookie cutter scenario for me here. I can't tell you what to do in the application of this. This is so personal. You have to find your own be still. But one thing I thought we could do was take communion together. Not that it solves all things. Not that it means, oh, now I just know Jesus more because I had communion. Not at all. It might help. It might draw us a tiny bit closer. But if it starts and ends this morning, then we've missed it again. Let this just be the start point for your journey with Jesus. Okay, so we're going to take communion together to conclude our service. And you know what? I'm not going to lead you in a prayer or this is when to take it. I'll leave that up to you. But the worship team is shortly going to lead us in song. And I encourage you to press in deliberately. Press in with intent to know Him more. Take the emblems. And when you see fit, would you consider making this a symbolic moment of preparing to advance with Jesus? Eat and drink and say to Him, hey, you know what, Lord? This is just the start of better days ahead. I want to get to know You more. I want to take it to a more intimate level. I'm not talking to you about the good old days. You know, those days when I used to do it this way, I'm going to go back to them. I'll talk to you more about that attitude next week. I'm talking about something so fresh and so new that we would be completely transformed as we kick off our preparation to advance. Let it be this moment that starts our commitment to walking deeper with You, Jesus. So, church, would you stand and would you sing and feel free to partake in communion as and when you see fit.